ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Good morning. Welcome to AM. It's Monday, the 15th of December. I'm Sabra Lane coming to you from Nipaluna, Hobart. We're beginning with the terrorist attack at Sydney's Bondi Beach, and some of the details are distressing. This is what we know. Two gunmen fired upon a Hanukkah event near the Bondi Pavilion. It was a celebration of the Jewish Festival of Lights. 16 people are dead, including a local rabbi and a child. One of the suspected gunmen is also dead. 38 people were injured, two of them are police officers. The other gunman is in a critical condition. Thousands fled for their lives when the shooting started, some taking shelter in nearby restaurants. Many in the Jewish community say the attack is the result of unceasing anti-Semitic vitriol. We'll bring you the political reaction later. First, Catherine Gregory takes us to Bondi and the first-hand accounts of what happened.
A sunny Sunday evening at Sydney's world-famous Bondi Beach, interrupted by the sounds of terror, as two men shoot repeatedly from a bridge on the north side, causing thousands of people to flee in all directions. But a video depicting an incredible act of bravery has emerged. One man crept up beside a car and tackled one of the gunmen, wrestling his gun off him.
Someone comes and take the gun of the guy who shoots.
Enzo, a 20-year-old backpacker from France, saw it happen.
But he don't shoot. He doesn't shoot.
As the shooting unfolds, police and paramedics descend on the beach, sirens continuously blasting, as dozens of people lie injured or dead at or near Archer Park next to the pavilion. Horrific, unbelievable scenes that Australians and Enzo didn't think possible here.
It's crazy. I heard the boom and everybody turn and look what happens. And after we see the body on the floor, I will never think that will happen in Australia.
Ronan was swimming in the ocean with his younger brothers close to the shooters when he noticed gunshots, smoke in the air and people running.
I told my brothers and his girlfriend to get out of the water, and we just ran for it down the southern end of the beach. We left all our belongings and stuff like that, and once we got to the southern end, everyone was stuck at one end, and then they basically chased. There was another shooter on the southern side, and they chased people up again, and we had to swim around the where did we swim around? The reef? They swam around the reef and went into the southern part downstairs of the Iceberg Hotel.
Sitting in a pub without his shirt on, belongings lost on the beach, Ronan says he's shaken and traumatised.
We're pretty freaked out, I think, all of us. There was a few people that had first aid issues around us as well. A lot of screaming, and I feel like a lot of people were attacked, injured and killed as well.
On Sunday night, police declared the shooting a terrorist incident on the grounds it was targeting a celebration of Hanukkah, an important Jewish religious festival. It's estimated 1,000 people attended the event. Jeremy was there with his wife and daughter when the shooting began.
I think instincts basically kicked in, and my wife grabbed my daughter, went down on the floor. I also went down on the floor. I saw my daughter, took her, went behind a concrete car park boulevard type thing, and then made it onto the beach. And we literally hid there for about maybe a good 20 minutes or so. Lots of screaming, bullets flying everywhere.
His family is safe, but Jeremy says his wife went into shock. He, while calm, finds it hard to believe the shooting even occurred.
You'd never think it happens in Australia at all, and it's sad, you know, that it has to happen all around the world as well.
A sentiment echoed by authorities, including the New South Wales Premier, Chris Minns.
This cowardly act of terrifying violence is shocking and painful to see, and represents some of our worst fears about terrorism in Sydney. I can assure the community it will be met with a massive, comprehensive police and public order response. Our heart bleeds for Australia's Jewish community tonight.
Details are still being pieced together. New South Wales police have confirmed one of the shooters is dead and another is in custody. But among those injured are also two police officers. Police Commissioner Mal Lanyon says police have been granted special powers to investigate the incident, which is being led by the Counter-Terrorism Unit.
No stone will be left unturned. This type of disgraceful activity, this wanton use of violence, the taking of innocent lives is unacceptable to New South Wales. It's not our way of life.
It's New South Wales Police Commissioner Mal Lanyon ending that report by Catherine Gregory and Michael Edwards. The Australian National Imams Council's condemned the shooting. The council's Bilal Rauf says the community must stand together.
It depends on our political leaders. It depends on our media. It depends upon how we discuss and engage and respond with what has occurred, whether we pursue divisive or incendiary narratives and rhetoric, whether we start attacking groups of people, or whether we see it for what it is, which is a horrific attack against Australians, Australian Jewish people, etc. And we work together, stand together, as we must, in the face of such tragedies.
That's Bilal Rauf from the Australian National Imams Council. Michelle Goldman is the chief executive of the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies. She says there hasn't been enough action to stem rising anti-Semitism in Australia.
I mean, the Jewish community has had increase in security funding. We already have children going to Jewish schools behind fences with guards outside. We already have to attend places of worship that have security. But clearly, even all these augmented security measures are not enough, even at our events. And it's a sad indictment on Australia when people cannot practice their faith freely without fear and with consequences such as those that unfolded. It's a concern for our safety as Australians. It's a concern for a way of life that we have cherished. And it's an attack on Australian values.
Michelle Goldman from the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies. Our reporter Alison Schaus at Bondi Beach.
Sabra, the mood here in Bondi is incredibly sombre and strange this morning. Usually on a Monday morning, people are here taking pictures of the sunrise, going for a run, doing some exercise before the working week. But instead today, people here are really shaken by what's occurred just 12 hours ago at this iconic spot that's so special to so many Australians. At the moment, the beach is unable to be accessed. There's police tape up restricting access near the Bondi Pavilion on Warners Avenue and near that footbridge that people would have seen in many of the videos that have been circulating of the event. But here on the street, people have been coming up to each other, giving each other a hug as they come to work at the local cafe, or neighbours chatting to each other, and a few people walking their dogs as well. But there is just a collective sadness all around as people process what's happened. And I spoke to some locals earlier who had, you know, witnessed what had taken place, and here's a little bit of what they had to say.
There's one thing I know, and that, you know, Australia as a community, I know Bondi as a community, we'll get together and we'll support each other, and we'll get through this. But right now it's just such a shock, and it's just a shame that this has happened. It's not just a shame, it's an absolute tragedy.
Look, I was in the North Bondi RSL and had a beer, and we got in lockdown and everything. I said, what's going on here? And then we heard the shots and everything, and it was bad situation.
And it's just terrible that something could happen here, but I really just hope it brings people together instead of pushes people apart.
Some Bondi locals talking about the terrorist attack there yesterday. And Alison, what is the latest with the police investigation?
The death toll has been updated. 16 people have now been confirmed to have died. We aren't sure if that includes one of the shooters who is confirmed dead, but that death toll does include one child. And last night, Police Commissioner of New South Wales, Mal Lanyon, said that police are investigating the possibility that there was a third shooter, although they wouldn't say why they believe there may have been a third perpetrator. Law enforcement officials have also confirmed to the ABC that one of the shooters was Naveed Akram from Bonnie Rig in southwest Sydney, and there are reports circulating that his home has been raided by police overnight. But all around Bondi and all around Australia, hearts are very heavy this morning.
Alison Schaus there. Tanya Dendrinos is outside St Vincent's Hospital in the inner city suburb of Darlinghurst, where many of the wounded were taken.
Cyber activity is starting to build outside of St. Vincent's Hospital here in Sydney again this morning following last night's tragic attack. Unfortunately, this morning we know the death toll has climbed to 16, which includes at least one child. There are 38 people in hospital. They're situated across a number of hospitals here in Sydney. We know that four children were transferred. It was a mammoth operation from emergency services with around 100 paramedics included in the response. And at this stage, we do have the name confirmed of one victim, Rabbi Eli Schlanger, who was an organiser of the Hanukkah event that took place in Bondi yesterday afternoon. We know he'd served the community for around 18 years. So tragic details continuing to come to light as the morning unfolds. We know of the patients that do remain in hospital, a number are critical. So no doubt in the hours to come, there'll be more information and families still hoping and praying for a good outcome for their loved ones. And we heard from the New South Wales Health Minister, Ryan Park, a short time ago.
16 people tragically have passed away as a result of this terrorist incident. One of those is a child. We had four children transferred to Sydney Children's Hospital. We had about 38 people injured, and we've had about 100 ambulance personnel, specialist units and general duties paramedics are here during their response last night.
That is New South Wales Health Minister Ryan Park, and before him our reporter Tanya Dendrinos outside St Vincent's Hospital. The National Security Committee of Federal Cabinet met last night. The nation's Director General of Security, Mike Burgess, briefed it, and he left the nation's terrorism threat level at probable. It means a 50% chance of another act of terror in the next 12 months. Political reporter Evelyn Manfield reports.
After an urgent national security meeting, Prime Minister Anthony Albanese emerges with a message.
This is a targeted attack on Jewish Australians on the first day of Hanukkah, which should be a day of joy, a celebration of faith. An act of evil anti-Semitism, terrorism, that has struck the heart of our nation.
Calling the mass shooting evil beyond comprehension.
As Prime Minister, I say on behalf of all Australians to the Jewish community, we stand with you, we embrace you, and we reaffirm tonight that you have every right to be proud of who you are and what you believe. You have the right to worship and study and live and work in peace and safety, and you enrich us as a nation. You should never have to endure the loss that you have suffered today.
By his side, the head of the Australian Security Intelligence Organisation, Mike Burgess.
Our principal role at this stage is to support the police in their ongoing investigation. But at the same time, as is standard practice for us, we are looking at the identities of the attackers and where that is known. We're looking to see if there's anyone in the community that has similar intent. It's important to stress at this point we have no indications to that fact, but that is something we have active investigations on.
Confirming the nation's terrorism threat level is staying at probable, which means there's a 50% chance of an act of terror in the next 12 months.
The national terrorism threat level is under constant review. One incident by itself does not necessarily raise the threat level at a national level, but we keep that under constant review.
While that might not change, the terrorism declaration itself unlocks policing powers. Nigel Ryan is the Acting Deputy Commissioner for National Security at the Australian Federal Police.
We'll put all resources we can, all our specialist powers, all our specialist resources towards ensuring that this matter is investigated as thoroughly as possible.
Some politicians say the attack on a peaceful Jewish gathering to mark the beginning of Hanukkah doesn't come as a surprise given anti-Semitism's been on the rise for the past 2 years. Anti-Semitism envoy Gillian Siegel agrees there have been warnings, such as synagogue attacks in Melbourne and Sydney. The government's likely to now face pressure to formally respond to Ms. Siegel's plan to combat anti-Semitism, released in July.
We're continuing to work on all of those issues.
Anthony Albanese says that includes bolstering security at Jewish places of worship and schools.
Evelyn Manfield there. And police sources have told the ABC the two Bondi Beach gunmen are a father and son. 24-year-old Naveed Akram remains in hospital under police guard while his 50-year-old father was shot dead in the exchange of gunfire with police. Federal Liberal Senator Dave Sharma is a former ambassador to Israel and a former federal member for Wentworth, which includes Bondi.
Over the past 2 years, we've seen, you know, we've seen firebombings of synagogues, we've seen property damage, we've seen vandalism, we've seen harassment, we've seen intimidation, we've seen hateful slogans expressed. And many of the Jewish community feared it was only a matter of time before the heightened incitement and atmosphere of grievance was directed towards them and led to something more lethal and more fatal, and in a tragic way that has been shown to be the case overnight.
Former Ambassador to Israel, Senator Dave Sharma. From Israel, the reaction has been furious. The Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, is blaming the Australian government for its feeble response to anti-Semitism since the October the 7th attacks and for its decision to recognise a Palestinian state. Middle East correspondent Eric Torchik reports.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been attacking the Australian government, particularly for its stance on the war in Gaza, for months. His response to the Bondi shootings was to attack again, targeting Anthony Albanese.
Your government did nothing to stop the spread of anti-Semitism in Australia. You did nothing to curb the cancer cells that were growing inside your country. You took no action. You let the disease spread. And the result is the horrific attacks on Jews we saw today.
Benjamin Netanyahu linked the shooting to Australia's policies, which have included the recognition of a Palestinian state, sanctions against Jewish settler leaders in the West Bank, and voicing concern about Israel's conduct in Gaza. The Israeli Prime Minister wrote to his counterpart 4 months ago as Australia, the UK, France and Canada were preparing to recognise a Palestinian state at the UN General Assembly.
I wrote, "Your call for a Palestinian state pours fuel on the anti-Semitic fire. It rewards Hamas terrorism. It emboldens those who menace Australian Jews and encourages the Jew hatred now stalking your streets."
The Israeli Foreign Ministry says one Israeli citizen was killed and another wounded in the attack. Israel's Foreign Minister Gideon Saar took a call from his Australian counterpart Penny Wong. He told her the shooting was related to protests against Israel's conduct in Gaza.
Unfortunately, the deadly terror attack in Sydney was expected. For 2 years, there have been anti-Semitic protests in Australia, especially in Sydney. They shouted, "Globalise the Intifada," and that's exactly what happened. We warned the Australian government countless times during this period. Unfortunately, it did not do enough. The Australian government must come to its senses now.
Israeli media outlets quoted unnamed security officials blaming the attack on Israel's enemy Iran without presenting evidence. The Australian government has previously accused Iran of initiating anti-Semitic incidents and expelled the country's ambassador in retaliation. The government's also defended its action against anti-Semitism, which included appointing a special envoy and providing extra funding and support to Jewish groups. Internationally, leaders from the United States, UK, including King Charles, and European Union expressed shock and sympathy. In Tel Aviv, in Israel, people held a vigil on the beach for victims of the shooting. Israeli President Isaac Herzog says the nation is in mourning.
Our heart misses a beat. The entire nation of Israel misses a beat in this very moment as we pray for the recovery of the wounded, we pray for them, and we pray for those who've lost their lives. We send our warmest strength from here, from Jerusalem, and we repeat our alert time and again to the Australian government to seek action and fight against the enormous wave of anti-Semitism which is plaguing Australian society. Let's hope for better news, and we hope to see them all healing and here.
Israeli President Isaac Herzog ending that report from Eric Torchik. And that is AM for today. Thanks for your company. I'm Sabra Lane.
Hi, I'm Andy Park, filling in for Sam Hawley on ABC News Daily. Racks and racks of servers, humming and blinking, row upon row in anonymous warehouses. Data centres are where the federal government and big investors hope Australia's economic future lies, powering e-commerce and, of course, artificial intelligence. But does the hype for data centre investment really match the return? Today, Alex Hooper, the head of climate and energy economics at Oxford Economics Australia. Look for ABC News Daily on the ABC Listen app.